Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Is our guy, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls, by the way, are brought to us by BetQL. Be smarter on Boston versus Golden State. You got expert picks, spread analysis, betting trends, and more. You can download the BetQL app, or you could visit BetQL.com today. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Ryan McDonough. Ryan, how you doing, man? It's Lou, Christian, and Mago.
Hey, guys, I'm doing great. I feel like a kid on Christmas morning with the NBA Finals Game 1 tonight with my hometown Boston Celtics playing and then the NBA Draft 3 weeks away. So it's certainly an exciting time of year.
Love it. It sure is. Right?
Let's go.
I want to continue kind of what we were talking about a little bit before about this turnaround of the Boston Celtics. I think it's kind of historic, right? We were waiting for this talent to kind of show. Rookie head coach. All of a sudden it just sort of clicked. And here you are in the NBA Finals. When you look back at this season, what was it? What was the turnaround for this Boston Celtics team?
For me, Lou, it really started on New Year's Eve. The Celtics were 16-19. They hosted the Phoenix Suns, who were rolling and ended up having the best regular season record in the league. And as you guys know, you cover the team closer than anybody. You live in the market. This is one of the least liked Celtics team I can remember. Keep in mind, I worked for the franchise for over a decade, from 2003 to 2013. The fans didn't like watching the team play. The media was appropriately, I thought, critical of the team. And so I give a ton of credit to Ime Udoka and the players in that locker room of turning this thing around without any real catalyst. As you guys know, sometimes teams make a big trade or get a significant player back from injury, and that really catapults their season. That was not the case for this Boston Celtics team. Most of the adjustments were internal improvement, and I think since the calendar flipped to 2022, they've been the best team in the league. They've certainly been the most dominant defensive team in the league, and I'm not saying this just because I'm on with you guys in Boston. I do think they're going to win the NBA championship. I have them beating the Warriors in seven games.
All right, so Ryan, so one of the narratives, keys to this series is the defenses, right? So the Celtics defense and the Warriors defense, and the Celtics have this, they're battle tested physical opponents in the first, in the second and third series, and now it's like this foregone conclusion they should just dominate the Warriors. But I have this vision of them, of the Warriors running all over the place and the Celtics grabbing Klay Thompson's jersey, grabbing Steph's jersey. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as everyone kind of is, trying to make me believe. What do you see it looking like?
Well, it's funny. If you're saying it's easy, that's a very heavy Boston slant or New England slant to it, because I do shows all over the country nationally, and the perception, I think, outside of New England is that the Warriors are going to roll in this series. I personally don't see it that way. But you're right about the styles and the contrast in style. The Boston Celtics, I think, are the toughest, most rugged, and physical team in the NBA. They want this series to be slow, possession by possession, played in the half court. They also want the refs to swallow their whistle a little bit and let these guys play. If that is the case, I think it certainly benefits Boston. Golden State obviously wants the opposite. They have as much perimeter firepower, probably more firepower than any team in the league. They want to play up-tempo. They want this to be an open court, spread court game where they can spread out the Celtics defense, and then with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and especially the emergence of Jordan Poole, they have a ton of offensive weapons and threats, and then they get going with their back cuts and things like that. So Boston wants to be rough and physical in the mud. Golden State wants it open and free-flowing. So that's one of the things I really have my eye on, who can kind of dictate the tempo and style of play starting tonight in San Francisco.
Ryan, one debate that we've been having today, our buddy Brian Scalabrine floated the idea that perhaps the Celtics should rest Rob Williams or not play him at least in game one after he looked pretty uncomfortable in game seven against the Heat. Is that something that you think they should consider, or is that like blasphemous for the NBA Finals?
I think it's blasphemous, Megan, and I'll give you an example of what last time the Celtics were on the stage in 2010, I was in the front office, and under the old format, the 2-3-2 format, where the team, the higher-seeded team, which was the L.A. Lakers in 2010, hosted games 1 and 2, then 3 games in a row in Boston, and then the last 2 games, 6 and 7 in L.A., there was a short turnaround on the flight between games 5 and 6, heading from Boston to L.A., and the Celtics were up 3-2. Obviously, the Lakers ended up going on to win the series, but there are people saying, well, why don't you guys just punt game 6 and rest everybody and get ready for game 7? And that's one of those things that it's fun to talk about on sports radio, but it's something you'd never actually do as a franchise. I mean, it's so hard to get to this level. You guys know the numbers. The team that wins game 1 historically does go on to win the series in the NBA Finals. If Boston can steal either of these first 2 games in San Francisco, then it shifts home court advantage and puts a lot of pressure on the Warriors starting in game 3 when the series comes back to Boston. So I think it's one of those things that's fun to talk about. Frankly, Megan, I think the most important series for Robert Williams, and obviously he'll play a role in this series, but I think the most important series for Robert Williams was the one the Celtics just won against Bam Adebayo in the Miami Heat. For me, I'm looking at the Celtics perimeter, especially Marcus Smart. I think it was a very good sign if you're a Celtics fan that he was not listed on the injury report. They need him healthy. They need as many perimeter defenders as possible, healthy and able to play as close to 48 minutes as they can against this Warriors attack. Golden State's not going to pound the ball into the post like the Heat did or had the option to do with Bam Adebayo. I think this series will be won or lost on the perimeter.
All right, we're talking to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns, spent 10 years in the front office of the Boston Celtics. And Ryan, I actually have Golden State winning this for the simple reason. I like a lot of matchups in the Celtics versus this team. However, looking at that Bucks series, looking at that Miami Heat series, a lot of games, Celtics tied, up 1, up 2 with 2 minutes to go, and they've coughed up, I think, 4 of them. And that's what concerns me. How concerned are you with the Celtics and how they close games out?
I think you're right having that concern. In fact, we almost saw it in historic fashion the other night when they were up big in Game 7 in Sunday in Miami. And then imagine what we'd be talking about now or what the narrative around this team would be had Jimmy Butler made that transition wing 3. So you're right. The numbers are not great. The eye test is not great when you look at how Boston has executed in clutch situations, which generally in the NBA is defined within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. The Celtics have not been good at that. And it's interesting that Boston's two young stud wings have done very differently in those situations. Jason Tatum has really struggled down the stretch, and he'll obviously need to deliver and come through and reverse that trend if the Celtics are going to win. Jaylen Brown in the playoffs this year has been phenomenal. His fourth quarter numbers are off the charts. So that's why I'm going to go a little bit counter trend. I did with my pick, picking the Celtics. I also am going with the MVP. I think if Boston wins this series, Jaylen Brown will be the MVP. Fully expect Andrew Wiggins to be on Jason Tatum and to load up on Tatum and try to limit Tatum, and that'll be the focal point of the Warriors' defense, which is very good. It was the second-best defense in the NBA, trailing only the Celtics. So I think this series sets up for Jaylen Brown to have a monster series. Klay Thompson is coming off an injury. Otto Porter is not the same player he once was, and he's been in and out of the lineup. I think Jaylen Brown has a real opportunity to be dominant in the NBA Finals.
All right, so we're talking to Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA insider. So other than the household names that the Warriors have, the Klay Thompsons, you know, and the Steph Currys, give me a guy that when this series starts, Celtics fans will be like, uh-oh, we have to worry about that guy too.
Great question, and it's a guy that did some really nice things throughout the end of the regular season and early in the playoffs, and then got clobbered in the second round against the Memphis Grizzlies, got knocked out of that series. That's Gary Payton II. He is a relatively young player in terms of NBA experience, but he is 29 years old. He's bounced around the minor leagues and really found a home in Golden State. His three-point shooting has improved a ton. That was the knock on Gary as a young player. He wasn't a great outside shooter. That's gotten a lot better. But I think his toughness and grit, if there's any player in the NBA who resembles a lesser version of Marcus Smart, I think it's Gary Payton II. So as you guys know, you love having players like that who are instigators, who are physical defenders when they're on your team. You hate them when they're on the other side. So Payton is coming off from an injury. I think we all have a lot of questions about what he'll be able to contribute, but if he is anywhere remotely healthy, he's a tough guy, and I expect him to be an irritant for Boston in this series.
Ryan, you mentioned the opportunity for Jaylen Brown in this series, assuming that so much of the defensive focus from the Warriors is going to be on Jason Tatum. I'm wondering what you've made of Jaylen Brown's ball handling recently. It's something we harp on a lot. We were just talking about the turnovers from both of Boston's two stars, Tatum and Brown. But Brown in particular, if he has the ball in his hands more often than not, what do you make of what's going on there?
It's really weird because it seems inconsistent. It's not like he's a consistently poor ball handler, but there are stretches in games where he just can't seem to get a handle on it, including even in halves of the game. I remember the first half, one of the games against Miami, it just seemed like the ball was greased every time he tried to handle it. So that'll be something that he certainly needs to improve on and tighten up. But again, I don't know that Golden State has a good enough secondary wing defender. If Wiggins is the matchup on Tatum, and I think that's what Steve Kerr is going to do, that's what I would do if I were coaching the Warriors. Anytime Tatum is in the game, Wiggins is on him. We've seen how much Wiggins has improved on both ends, especially defensively, and the job he's done against Luka Doncic and others throughout this playoff run. But who's the second defender? So I think there's a real opportunity for Brown, but you're right. He needs to limit turnovers, and that's another key factor, Megan, that I'm glad you brought it up. Golden State, when they're clicking, it's poetic. It's like ballet to watch them move the ball around, move players. It's a symphony out there. But they do turn the ball over a lot. They get loose with it. So if the Celtics can force some turnovers, get out in transition, I think Boston needs to run selectively. They don't want this game to go up and down. But when the Warriors do get casual with their passes, which they tend to do, and their live ball turnovers when the ball is still in play, Boston needs to take advantage of that with their athletes in transition, led by Jaylen Brown.
Talking to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Ryan, last one for me. You mentioned Jason Tatum, those fourth quarter performances. So I felt like in Game 7, they rush him, they double-team him, and he's making the right pass. But they do that to all superstars in the fourth quarter. They take the ball out of his hands. What do you want to see more from Jason Tatum when that happens to get back into the action of the play?
A really good question, because I think the best guy in the league at doing what I'm about to say is on the other side, and that's Steph Curry with Golden State. When you watch Steph Curry play, and you'll see it again tonight in the finals, he is the best I've ever seen at moving as soon as he passes the ball. And as a defender, your tendency is to relax. If you're guarding the ball, especially a great player like Steph Curry, and he gives it up, I think it's just human nature to let your guard down, to relax just for a split second. Well, when you do that against Steph Curry, he's already gone. He's already relocating off the ball. It speaks to the phenomenal condition he is in. So I love how Tatum has developed as a playmaker with the ball in his hands. I think the next step will be to move off the ball more, to move it, get it back. I know that's difficult to do given the load he has to carry on both ends for the Celtics, but if he can do that, I really think that would unlock another level in his game.
All right, Ryan McDonough, appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward. Hopefully we can talk to you again throughout this series.
Anytime. Always great to be on with you guys.
You got it. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!